Well,
that was a very careful clang.
I was clanging it over the top of the recording device.
Full of tea.
Full of tea.
Yes.
So this podcast could have been clang and stop.
Yeah, it could have been... That anyway, could have been it, yeah.
It's tea o'clock rather than wine o'clock. This is a lunchtime.
It's podcast. Tea time. Well, yeah.
Although there are plenty around here who quite happily have a lunchtime tipple.
That's true, but we haven't succumbed.
I haven't got the constitution for that.
I can't do it either. If I have a drink in the afternoon, that's it for me for the rest of the day.
As we proved the other day with the boozy lunch.
That's true.
Not at all.
Menu del Dias.
Welcome to the Mallorca Mallorca podcast.
Hello
this
there.
Episode. Due to what's the word I'm looking for?
Superstitious
reasons. This is episode 12A. Not my idea.
Run the theme tune.
Here it comes. I say Mallorca and you say Majorca. I say Majorca and you say Mallorca. Mallorca, Majorca, Mallorca, Majorca. Let's call the whole thing off. So go on then. Why 12A?
Is it, it's a theatre thing,
oh,
okay?
A theatre thing.
You can't say the name of the Scottish play either. Don't even.
I won't say the name of the Scottish play. I'm just trying to work out why that might come up in a podcast about Mallorca at any point.
You never know.
No.
It's just a theatre thing, an old school.
Anyway, this is the Mallorca podcast. I'm Oliver Nielsen.
I'm still Vicky McLeod, although I'm very tired this week.
You're a knackered Vicky McLeod.
I'm going to blame it on the American elections.
Well, it has involved staying up until the middle of the night drinking wine and hoping they're going to make some sort of decision.
It's Saturday afternoon and we know who's won, but nobody's saying who's won.
Well, it's everybody like the, apart from Donald like the, Trump knows who's
it's
won.
It's like the Biden-shaped elephant in the room.
It is, yeah.
Isn't it?
It is.
Just get it over and done with so we can open the champagne.
I know. I'm not sure Donald Trump thinks that Joe Biden's won, but he's the only one who doesn't at this moment. By the time you listen to this, he may well have done. We've actually got some champers in the fridge.
We have. They're my birthday champagne.
There we go.
It's my birthday champagne. We should, we should record the pop if it ever happens.
We may be alienating a proportion of our audience.
I don't mind.
No. You know who you are.
Yeah.
You're entitled to your opinion, but you're just flat wrong. Anyway, Spain.
What about Spain?
Well, virus, really.
Oh.
Sorry to say this, but it's the same thing again, really. It's, where are we? There's some nice autumn days at the moment, bit of a splash of rain this morning, but everything is, of course, quiet. We've got the lockdown, we've got curfew rules all over Spain, with bars and restaurants closing. In Mallorca, it's 12 o'clock until 6 o'clock in the morning. In Ibiza, it's 10 o'clock. They just don't... People don't get out of bed until 10 o'clock in Ibiza, do they?
I don't... I think, well, this time of year, I should imagine it's fairly easy to maintain the curfews.
I think the mega clubs are not exactly open.
Yeah, they didn't open anyway, this should.
No, exactly. So that's the restrictions here. There are restrictions all over Spain with regard to travelling. As we mentioned in the last podcast, with regard to travelling between the regions.
Mm.
Lots of places are having... So you can't go in and out of... Yeah, most regions in Spain. We've got an interview coming up with a fellow who's done exactly that, actually. Our mate Joe is following the Vuelta a España, the three-week cycling race around Spain.
He's not following it. He's working
it.
On it.
He's working on it. Yes, exactly.
He's not a tourist. So, he's up to his elbows in cyclists.
And he's cool. And he's going to be back in Mallorca where he normally practices his osteopathy. But anyway, have a listen to the interview with Joe coming up. And if you need an adjustment, give the man a call. But they are managing to travel around Spain at the moment, despite the fact that Spain is closing down. But there is a difference. We're not getting a lockdown as so far, at least. There's not going to be a confinement in a way that there was in March, as in stay in your house. Two regions of Spain this week actually applied to the government for permission to lock people into their houses.
Did they? Who?
Denied. Some places in Asturias, in the rather beautiful north.
But they got denied.
They were denied. Yeah.
What was the reason for the denial?
So they don't want to do it. They want to keep the economy going. So what they're doing is, instead of locking people away, so far, I mean, everything might change. They're keeping the bars and restaurants closed, maintaining the social distancing, reducing inter-regional travel. You can almost all of Spain has stopped inter-regional travel, apart from Balearics, the Canaries, and I think a couple of places on the mainland too.
Because the government probably can't afford more ERTE.
Probably not. But
you know, more payments for people who are going to literally be shut down because they can't go to work.
Mm. It's quite possible. But the government did deny
that
to two areas.
Like the furlough scheme in the UK.
Yeah. which has just been extended.
It's a bit more generous, though. I think they get quite a lot more money than the ERTE.
But the Spanish national health authorities, Salvador Illa, is the man on telly every day. He's your the health minister doing the press conferences. He said that Spain and the people of Spain need to be looking at around 2 to 3 weeks for current restrictions just to see if it's started working. So he said, be patient, you know, we'll see if it's bearing fruit, if the results are going in the right direction in 2 to 3 weeks, which so far they're not. They're still heading upwards in Spain, as they are basically everywhere in Europe as well. So we shall see. But that's as it stands at the moment. It's all virus. What have you got?
Well, I've got the data from my little local WhatsApp group, actually. Every day, Luis from the Putt-Putt, he puts in all the statistics of people who are sick with coronavirus. At the moment in Mallorca, there's 249 new cases, 15 people in intensive care, and 145 people who are seriously ill, but not in intensive care.
Yeah, we've still got around 7% cases in Mallorca, which is the point where people start to worry is when it gets over 5%, so 500 cases per 100,000, we're about 700 cases per 500,000 per 100,000 in the Balearic. So it's still at high risk in Spain. It's not the worst by a long way. And because it's a relatively small population, then the pure numbers, if you like, are still small. But anyway, it doesn't look like anything's changing anytime soon. No one's arriving, really, or no one's leaving. Everything's shut. But then everything more or less will be shut this time of year anyway.
Gigi's still at school.
She is.
In fact, she told me this week that because of the way that they have to ventilate the rooms, all of the windows are going to stay open in the classrooms, and all of the kids have been told to bring in blankets. So we are choosing a blanket for her to take in, and also she says she's going to take in a scarf because they have to sit in freezing cold rooms, basically.
Well, it does get cold here, doesn't it?
Yeah, but also then like the windows are going to be open and they're not going to have the heating on, so... Yeah, it's all situation the same.
Yeah, I mean, the Balearic government are planning, or at least they were talking about the idea of paying the bill for testing as people are arriving, or at least maybe leaving their destination airport to try and plan for some kind of season next year. I'm not sure how realistic all of that is, but that's their plan anyway.
And the Canary Islands?
I think the Canary Islands have now been reopened. This was a couple of podcasts ago, actually. They've been reopened as a travel corridor.
But they're doing testing, aren't they?
I think they are. I mean, I don't know whether it's conclusive, and I don't know whether it's... whether they turn around quick enough, or, you know, people say that you can have no symptoms. You know, if you were just infected and then you were tested immediately afterwards, then you wouldn't test positively, but you would maybe develop symptoms in a couple of days. So it's by a long way from a perfect system. But they've got to do something, you know. They've got to try and plan for next season. Yeah. Next year. I mean, there's normally a bit of winter business in Mallorca, cyclists, a few golfers, some hikers and all the rest of it, but actually really not very much. And it's a drop in the ocean compared to the summer business. So the focus here, business-wise, is to focus on getting everything as prepared as you can be and dealing with the things that are inside the control of the Spanish government controlled.
We didn't tell the listener about our quick trip back.
We didn't, no, actually. We had a sneaky at all, actually.
We went to see your parents, and we went from Mallorca to Bristol, all masked up. And then your dad collected us at the airport, drove us to their house. We stayed in the house for 36 hours. We didn't even put a toe outside of the door, did we?
It was raining. It was an easy decision.
Yeah, we did. It was massive jigsaw. Ate a lot of food, talked for a bit, and then drank a couple of beers, got back in the car, and got taken back to the airport and back on the plane.
Well, about 36 hours, wasn't it? Something like that.
So, and we did it on EasyJet, and I thought about booking another one in a few weeks' time, because your mum really appreciated. I think both your parents actually appreciated seeing Geech. But there aren't any flights at the moment. Very few flights going back to the UK.
Let's just say on our journey outward and journey back, there was only really about 20 people. I mean,
on the plane.
Yeah, the booking, they'd spaced everybody out. you know, so we were sitting together as a family. That's okay. I guess it's a single booking, but everybody else, you know, we're getting a whole rows to yourself. But there was about 20, you know, how many sit on those planes? Maybe 150, 100, 120, 130 people, 20 people out, 20 people back, more or less. There's nobody making any profit on those things. It must just be because they need to keep their staff doing something.
I guess
what
so.
Remaining staff they've got, keep the routes going, but they're losing money on every single flight.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Well, they're not even allowed to come around with food. They were allowed to... Did they sell us a cup of tea?
They did.
They were allowed to sell us a cup of tea, and that was it. No hot food. She said there was no point in having food on because they just weren't selling it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
they must be losing
pretty
that, you know,
grim.
You look at a regular EasyJet Ryanair flight, they probably sell $1,000 worth of coffees and bacon sandwiches on a regular flight, don't they?
Probably.
Something like that. I mean, it's not cheap, is it? Coffee and a bacon sarnie is probably a tenner,
but you
virtually.
Know, but even amongst all the doom and gloom... I'm still working with a lot of new businesses.
Yeah.
A lot of people are coming up with ideas. We were going to put the interview with Bin in this edition. We'll put it in another one. And I just want to say, even though we do paint a fairly gloomy picture, the sun is actually shining in Mallorca. It's absolutely beautiful afternoon. The weather is really nice.
Good hiking
it's
and cycling.
It's a really wonderful time to be here. And I really wish that people could come and visit and come and have holidays, because I think at the moment, we both have said this, we can't think of anywhere we'd rather be right now. Because we've got a great healthcare system. We've got beautiful countryside to live in. We live in a really healthy environment.
The air quality is great here. Food's nice.
Exactly. And also, even though Spain as a commercial, the administration of Spain is done in such a way that they don't really incentivize freelance workers. It's very expensive to run a business here. There's still a lot of people thinking, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. And I've got several clients at the moment who I'm helping coach their businesses and helping them set them up that are just so hopeful and full of these great ideas and pushing through. So even though, we've got all this doom and gloom, there is also a real interesting kind of new cycle of things coming.
I mean, even without the coronavirus, the 21st century is heading more and more and more freelance. They call it the gig economy, don't they? People working from their laptops and, you know, instead of... And plenty of people do still go and work for a company with a contract and all the rest of it. But lots and lots of people these days say, I've got a client here, a client there, and they set up in a Starbucks with their laptops and stuff.
I think the economy was more to do with people not having permanent contracts with things like Uber.
Well, that is one side of it for sure, but also it's people freelancing. You know, people are moving more towards freelancing, and with the coronavirus and the devastating effect it's having on the economy and probably will have for the next coming few years, I think people are looking at taking things more into their own control, actually. You know, people have lost jobs or at least have been furloughed, so they've got a lot of thinking time. You know, we were saying was it last podcast as well? When you're busy working and you're busy working your own business or you're working for somebody else's business, you don't really have much time to think creatively about what would I do if I had a free choice about stuff. But if you're sitting at home doing Joe Wicks and trying not to start drinking at lunchtime, maybe you start thinking, well, what would I like to do with my life? You know, and actually that is, you know, that I think that's a spur for a lot of people, particularly if people also you mix into that, they have the option of moving somewhere. They can say, well, I don't need to go. Even people who are going into the office every day or used to go to the office every day, even if they have still got those jobs, they're working at home for 6 months, you know, people can go, I'm going to go live in my
own
car, or I'm going to live in the countryside.
A lot of people have come here to do that. I've set up a few interviews coming up in the next few weeks with various people. But let's talk today about somebody who's already living his dream.
Joe. Big Joe.
I'm looking
for Dr. Joe.
In fact, his name is Dr. Joe Arindell, and he...
Junior.
Dr. Joe Arindell Jr., all right. And he has lived on Mallorca for, I don't know, several years now, and he is notorious in amongst professional sports people, because not only he gets results, but he takes no prisoners whilst he's doing it. he's a really gifted osteopath and physiotherapist, and he is currently with a cycling team in touring around Spain. And he finishes tomorrow, doesn't he?
It does, yeah. We're talking Saturday. So it's the Vuelta a España. We won't talk too much about it because it's all in the interview, which is coming up right about now. But he's following his dream and working with professional cyclists in the Vuelta a España, which finishes tomorrow. Here's Joe. Have a listen.
Okay, look, we've got on the line Joe Arundel. Actually, to give you your full title, Dr. Joe Arundel Jr. Is that right, Joe?
It is. But Joe, just Dr. Joe is good enough for Joe is good enough.
Yeah, but we'll give you a full title and then call you Joe for the rest of the time.
Okay, that's good.
We can't skip over your professional credentials, which we'll come back later. But the reason we've got Joe on the phone, he normally lives in Mallorca, is that he's working on the Vuelta a España, the cycle race that is literally the loop of Spain. It's one of the three grand tours every year, one of the three big bike races. And it normally goes ahead, Joe, if I'm right in saying, in August, is it?
Correct.
Inevitably, this year, it's been postponed. So it's just coming to the end of its third and final week now. So we've got a few days to go. And Joe is working with one of the top teams and a team with a great future ahead of it next year. So, Joe, tell us a little bit about just a quick intro on you and how you came to Mallorca, and then we'll move on to the cycling. So tell us about yourself.
Okay. I'm from the Caribbean, born in the Caribbean. Spent a few years living on different islands, moved to the Netherlands in the 90s, started studying physical therapy, finished that, and moved to Belgium, where I kept on studying and working. And I worked for the Belgian government in sports, football, judo, and cycling. So I was already working in cycling, but then not for a team especially, but more that they would come to me, get fixed, and then go back into cycling. And then I left Belgium in 2012, went back to the Caribbean where I'm from, St. Martin, stayed there for a year, came to Mallorca for about a few months. I just wanted to try something different.
Okay.
And from Mallorca, I moved to Dubai. Dubai, I started working for the government again, judo, and then in Abu Dhabi. And then Dubai, I worked for the cycling team, Skydive Dubai. So I was back into cycling. I was back into doing what I do best. And after 1 year contract, I moved back to Mallorca, and I thought, I want to be closer to Europe. Mallorca is a cycle paradise, and it has a lot of things that I enjoy from the Caribbean. Good weather, good food, good people. So that's where I stayed for the last 7 years.
And you've picked up a language everywhere you've been, haven't you? Didn't someone tell me you speak a crazy amount of languages, Joe? How many?
English, Dutch, Belgium, which is almost the same, French, Spanish, a bit of Arabic, and a bit of Japanese. I mean, I love languages, you know, and I'm learning Hebrew. I'm learning Hebrew because I'm new as an Israel team. So I'm asking a lot of questions, and I've already learned how to say what's up, like Manishma.
We jumped ahead there. Actually, the team that Joe's working for now is the Israel Startup Nation. Is that right?
Correct.
So the Hebrew as well. Flipping heck, Joe.
Yeah.
So you keep going this way. You'll have learned all of them at this rate. But tell me what your speciality is. I'm going to call you an osteopath. But is that right? Or tell me specifically
The thing is, I started studying physical therapy, so I'm a physical therapist and I'm also an osteopath. The physical therapy is like a beginning, and then you just keep on studying further. So your last certification is osteopathy, a doctorate in osteopathy, so you become an osteopath. But it doesn't mean that if I need to do something in physical therapy that I won't do it. You have a suitcase of knowledge, and you do whatever it takes to get the job done.
And it's always been professional high-end sport thing that's interested you as a speciality. In the years that I've known you, you've been specializing particularly with cyclists, but that's always been your are you interested in cyclists because you like the sport, or because you kind of like fixing their bodies, if that makes any sense?
It does make sense, because I do like fixing their bodies, because they have some very interesting crashes. They have when they fall hard because they're very lightweight. They also have injuries for bad bike fittings. Back, there's so many different variables that hinder them from doing their jobs correctly. So it's always fascinated me. Like, I was just treating one guy just now, and he just rode 250k, and he had a pain in his right leg. And I was like, why didn't you come and see me last night? He's like, I didn't want to bother you. I'm like, how can you ride 6.5 hours of pain in your leg? And in one session, I released the pain. So it's like, you see, you should have come last night. Nice. He's like, okay, tomorrow I'll do better. So it's that way of just making, being able to make a difference and just get them to do stuff.
And I know there's a lot of cyclists who, in Mallorca particularly, and there's quite a few who listen to the podcast, and we did an episode a week or two about cycling. But if you don't know about cycling, it is an incredible sport in terms of its physical... the physical endurance of cyclists has got to be up there with more than most, hasn't it? I mean, to do a stage of Grand Tour... I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm wrong. You're starting to, on a hilly stage, you'll use about 7,000 calories, whereas running a marathon, for instance, will use about 2,200 calories. So, you know, and they'll do this for 21 stages on a 3-week race, which is 2 days off, more or less. I mean, it's unbelievable. And there's not, as you said, apart from a helmet, they don't wear any padding. And if they come off, you know, they don't have very much fat to bounce off, do they? How are Israel Startup Nation getting on so far in the Vuelta?
They were doing good. We have the leader of the team is a guy called Dan Martin, Irish guy.
Oh, yes.
And he came right from the Tour de France, where he had a crash. And we worked together, and he won a stage in the beginning. And he's been doing good since then. But, yeah, let's see what the last 2 days will bring apart. So it's interesting. It's really interesting to see. And then we have, I think we have one Israeli cyclist. So this is his first time in a world tour. Mm-hmm. And then we have two Swiss, one Italian, and we have Rory. Rory's from Australia. So this is, he's been 20 years cycling. This is his last race. This is for him his goodbye race.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, in respect to the guy, he's come a long way. He's won some stuff, and it's been good to work with him, even if it was just one race.
Actually, I'm going to jump ahead here slightly. I was going to bring this to the end, but since we're talking about this, big news for Israel Startup Nation is they've signed Chris Froome for next year. Chris Froome is...
Correct.
He's racing at the Vuelta this year for Ineos, which is the evolution from Team Sky, which obviously has won... is it four Tour de France's, or the Vuelta and the Giro, I think, isn't he? He's been somewhat overlooked from the team this year due to younger talent coming through, and he's... After a big crash last year, he has, I guess, one last throw of the dice, really. He's joining Israel Startup Nation. The whole team is going to be focused around him, and he's going for his fifth Tour de France next year, I guess.
Correct.
And you met him this week, did you?
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
You got to meet Chris Froome this week, did you?
Yeah, I got to meet him this week. We ran into each other, and he was like, he looked at my sweater, he's like, oh. I said, yes, I'm from the team. He goes... And I said to Mom, she goes, I don't know who you are. I said, Joe, but you will get to know me soon. Mm-hmm. He goes, what's your function? I said, osteopath. He smiled. He says, yes, very soon. I said, I think so too. Because what happens is that we just have 7 months to get him to the top.
Yeah,
it's not a lot of time.
He's not there at the moment, is he? I mean, he had a...
No, if you don't he's know, working
he
on it.
If you're listening and you didn't know, he had a pretty enormous crash prior to last year's Tour de France, a training ride. He cycled into a brick wall or something. So,
yeah, correct. It almost killed him.
And you're presumably now doing your homework, finding out exactly what his injuries are, because you've got to rub the guy better next year.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be a matter of just taking him completely apart as a race car and putting him together again.
Yeah.
So,
to get back to the to racing this year, he's already had quite a lot of reconstruction, hasn't he? But
he has. But I think also the fact is that's where osteopathy comes in. Osteopathy is therapy, and osteo is bone. So we're the bone therapist. So that's where I want to get the chance to just make the last difference and make sure that we can get him up to 100%.
See,
at least as high as possible.
This is an important job you got here, Joe. You know, this is the difference between four Tour de France's and five Tour de France's takes you from being exceptional to one of the greats, isn't it? There's, I think, is it about three?
True.
One, five. So, and that's And it's not just in your hands. Chris Froome's got to do a bit of work too, but...
Yeah, it's true. But the thing is about it is that you can't... I met the owner of the team and we were talking about it. It's my secret dream to do this. I mean, it's not in a secret anymore, but it's my dream to do this. I mean, you're going to be working with one of the greatest athletes in the world who's come from far, and you're going to get him back to where he has to be. So it's a all out mind and all out work thing. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a challenge that I have accepted. So I'm happy with it.
Listen, you've been a fan of cyclists and cycling and doing your job brilliantly for a while now, and here you get the opportunity to work on one of the greats of all time, and it may be one of his last shots to join the all time. So that's great. So you've definitely got the job for next year, have you?
Yes, I do. I do have the job for next year.
You're going to spend a long time on the road, I guess.
Yes, I will. So my team in Mallorca will have to work a bit harder. But I think once I'm back next week, there'll be a lot of stuff getting in place because I want to hit the ground running. I think he needs to do the same because every day will count. It's not a day to be lost or whatever have you. Every day will count.
And that just to your business here, I want to ask you how it's been for the Vuelta a España. I keep asking obvious points to because perhaps there are people listening who don't know much about cycling, but the Vuelta a España is literally that. It is a loop of Spain. And at the moment, anyone who's watching the news is looking at Spain closing its borders. So you've got this traveling circus of people moving around a country that's closing down. There was some doubt it was going to happen, and even more doubts it was going to finish. But we're here, what, 3 or 4 days from the finish. So has it actually been moving around the country?
Well, we've been very much protected. I mean, we haven't been in contact with the public. Everything is barricaded. There are people standing along the streets or whatever have you. Mm-hmm. And when they come closer, we just say, please keep your distance. We wear masks constantly when we're not doing anything. And there's a lot of amount of alcohol, the sanitizing going on. Yeah. For instance, now we're in a hotel with 5 teams, but we're all separated. So we won't see each other when we're having lunch and dinner. We'll just see each other when we're on the road. So we're quite isolated, which is good because we get to spend more time. We're already isolated anyhow during these big races, but we're even more isolated. So we get to spend more time with our teammates and with our. It's like we come close as a family.
Yeah.
So that's the good thing about it.
I mean, even more so than normal. I mean, I guess during a normal Grand Tour, you move in a bubble in a good year. You know, everyone's on the same bus, the same hotels.
True.
This year, you're deliberately separated. I mean, I'm a photographer, and I've occasionally done pictures of Team Sky in years when we didn't have a pandemic. And they all stay in the same hotel up in Alcudia with British Cycling and the Paralympic team and all the rest of it. And they have sanitizers all the time, and the no handshake rules and all the rest of it, even in a non-COVID year. Now it seems sensible, but a couple of years ago when we were doing it, you're like, what, really? You know, no handshakes, alcohol wipes everywhere. But and were there any problems crossing borders? Were there ever times during the Vuelta when they've had to change the route or consider changing the route?
They've changed the start of it. Normally it was going to start in Holland, but Holland decided to close the borders. Yeah. So they started in Spain, but in Spain itself, because we're isolated, because there's a lot of police protecting us, because it's a major event, they're doing their best to keep all the riders safe. Yeah. And I have to say they've done an amazing job on it because I haven't heard, I think I'm almost safe going to say, I haven't heard any COVID cases going on. We're tested very rigorously, which I'm not a very fan of because it's painful. Every 2 to 3 days we get a test, and 24 hours we get the results.
Right, and that's there were a couple of cases during the Tour de France and the Giro.
I have to say the Spanish are being very, very, very cautious. Good. A bit too cautious, but yeah, you can never be too cautious of stuff like this.
Now, normally the Vuelta a España is in August, but there's been lots of. But your home is in Mallorca, and your normal practice is based here. There's always been a question about why they don't have a stage or a start or something of the Vuelta a España in Mallorca. It seems the perfect place to do it.
It is, but the problem is that it's a logistic nightmare.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the only answer you're going to get, because it's really, you have to bring over how many buses, how many trucks, how many cars. You're going to need at least 3 to 4, maybe, let's say, maybe 7 to 8 ferries just to carry all the stuff over.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, the argument has always been, because the Vuelta is normally in August, that it's the busiest time of the year in Mallorca, and if you close the roads, all the hotels are full.
Also.
But, so maybe this year, if they'd have had a chance to think about it, then it would have been perfect. The one chance to have a few stages in Mallorca, but you know, it's a...
Correct. Well, the good thing is for Mallorca is that because of how Spain is at the moment, a lot of cyclists are looking at coming to Mallorca for training.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have more cyclists coming in for training because they're seeing it's an island, they're seeing it's safe, they're seeing a lot of things. So I think it's going to work out very good for Mallorca in the end anyhow.
I mean, let's hope so. We mentioned a few podcasts ago that Mallorca is unbelievable for road cyclists. It doesn't make quite have the same climbs that the Pyrenees or the Alps have, but it's got plenty to keep you busy if you like the hills and if you like the flats, and the weather is great, you know, for winter training.
Not correct.
If you're a professional cyclist, winter training in the Pyrenees or the Alps is no go because it's snowy, obviously.
True.
The Vuelta this year has just about managed to duck the snow, hasn't it, in the Pyrenees?
Correct.
Should have gone the other way.
Yeah, correct.
So,
correct.
So if you're an osteopath who likes to specialise in cycling, then Mallorca is the perfect place to base yourself, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is, not only cycling, but all the other top sports, but it is indeed for cycling for sure.
So tell us a bit about your practice in Mallorca and your work here. Where are you based? Where do you go?
We're based in the port of Calanova, which is just outside Palma. It's next to the castle, Marivent, the King's Castle. Mm-hmm. And we're based inside a port because a lot of people think that we're based next to the port, but we're based inside a port. So you come in the port, you park, you get like an hour free parking, you come downstairs, you get your session. And if I need to do rehab, which is done the physio part, there's a gym next door where I can do the rehab. And added to that, you can come to the clinic and you leave. So it's one of the few places, I would say, technically one of the only osteopathic place on the island where you don't have to worry about parking.
Okay, that's important.
It is indeed. Because that was one of the things, that was what I was looking at when I was building the place. I was like, I need a place where parking is accessible. It needs to have an elevator. It needs to tick off all the boxes.
Yeah.
And it has. It has.
And what... We've already touched on it, but what's the kind of let me try and phrase this correctly. What if a client is looking for someone? What kind of things do you treat? I mean, this is not a massage. This is not a candles and whale music, is it? This is you're working on injuries or you're working on tension. Yeah, you. This is a medical treatment, if you like, rather than
medical. Yeah. Well, correct. Medical remedial massages, massage to relieve tension and stress, sport massages, not only massages, we do acupuncture, physiotherapy, rehabilitation. My colleagues, Miguel, we have a new colleague, Miguel, he's also an osteopath, and he's going to be doing a bit of dietitian also work and stuff like that. So we're trying to create a very all-round group, and that we can try to help people as much as possible. So, and it's been working so far so good, so I hope it'll stay like that.
It's a kind of holistic approach, isn't it? You're talking about physical fitness and health and nutrition. I mean, I can speak from personal experience, actually, Joe. You did a bit of work on me a while back. And
correct.
Not that there was anything particularly wrong with me, or at least it wasn't until you managed to find a few things that needed work. And then I got on my bike, and I'm a keen cyclist. I wouldn't describe myself as an athlete, but I said, do I take it easy? And you said, no, get on your bike, go and do your favorite climb, and then text me when you've got your personal best. And I did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I did. I think you pulled my leg off and reattached it or something. Well, that's kind of what it felt like.
Well, take it apart and put it together again. I remember it very clearly.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't know whether all of your treatments like this, but it was, I was under no illusions. I've been worked on, that's for sure. And it's...
tell me.
And there's a lot of people who come back month after month, aren't there? You're certainly... I'm trying to avoid saying it was a painful experience. It was.
You can't say. I mean, the thing is about it is that it's not bad to mention that. And I tell people, I'm not a nice person when I'm working, but you don't come to me to be nice. You come to me to get results.
Yeah, it's
and true. I just explain what I'm doing. I mean, the guys here, technically they're afraid of me because, like, you know, you're very hard and you're very this, but
yeah,
you do help us and we see the results and we come back. I go, well, that's it. I mean, if you want to be friends, you can always buy me a beer. My favorite beer is Belgium, but work is work. No, play is play. Exactly, work, yeah, first, play after.
You know, I mean, when you were working on me, I was, for the love of God, please stop. And then when you stopped, and then I cycled up a hill, I was like, that's good, I should go back again, you know. And it really, you know, it's well, no pain, no gain, as they say. So,
to a certain extent, that is the case, yeah. That is the case.
So I'm going to let you get to dinner because you've finished massaging the riders for the day, and you have to go.
I have to help. I don't massage the riders. I put them back together. They have their own massage therapist.
Okay, so that's the kind of, you know, rubbing down and oily muscles, and you're ripping them apart and putting them back together for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go and have dinner with the team.
Yeah, they're ready. They're ready. I think because the guys eat first.
Yeah,
and the riders eat first, and then the crew comes in about. We come in about 20-30 minutes afterwards, so they get time because we also have a personal chef for the riders, so that they can all get their own meals and whatever have you, and then we eat whatever the hotel is giving us and what the chef wants to give us too. So yeah, it's quite a full on thing going on.
I bet. So the riders are going to scarf down 4,000 calories and get to bed, and what's the stage like tomorrow? So this will be Friday the 6th is tomorrow as we're recording this. So
yeah,
what's in store for the riders tomorrow?
Can you say that again?
What's tomorrow's stage in the Vuelta look like tomorrow for Friday?
I think it's 160K. It's not so hard. So I haven't checked it out yet. I'll go over it later on this evening. So all I know is the weather is going to be dry. Yeah. That's going to be important. So then I know how to check these guys, because if it's cold weather, they're going to be all hunched and tense. So then it's going to be a lot of shoulder work. If it's dry weather, then it's going to be a lot more leg work. So those are the things I check, and then I'll check the rest later on tonight.
And where are you? Which bit of Spain are you in right now?
Salamanca.
Okay, because tomorrow in Mallorca we've got 30-kilometer winds, so it might be dry, but they might if the winds if they get winds there as well. That's the cyclist's worst nightmare.
Well, we had that today. We had a headwind today. It was very hard.
Evil. So
yeah,
we just need to let the folks know how to find you. If they, we've already done the hard sell. So if we've got someone who needs putting back together and doesn't mind a bit of pain, then Dr. Joe is the man for you. So where can they find you online?
They can find me through the website, careforhealth.com. It's the letter 4, not the number 4. Mm-hmm. And there's an online booking. And you can also see my colleagues. My colleagues are a bit nicer. Amanda, she's right. She's nicer. I mean, I have some of the cyclists, they start with me and they go, okay, you've done the hard work, we'll go to her for the soft work. Not a problem. Or to Miguel. So, I mean, that's the beauty of a team.
Yeah.
People can choose and, you know, you can book online. So that works also very good.
Perfect. So we'll put in the show notes, if you're listening to the show and you need to go and see Joe, we'll put a link so you can click on wherever you listen to this podcast, have a click. So it's care4health.com.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks a mil, Joe. It's lovely to speak to you. We'll see you soon and enjoy the rest of your Vuelta. And I can't begin to tell you how excited I am to think about next year and Chris Froome. I'm a big cycling fan. So to think that I know someone whose job it is to make him do it is a great pleasure for me. So cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Cheers.
Oh my God, that is so exciting.
It is, isn't it?
Come on, Joe. Come on, Froome. Let's go. Oh, I banged the table. I bet that's really
noisy.
You did
bang the table,
Ben. I'm so, so, so happy for him.
He's bouncing off the walls, isn't he? Very happy,
yes.
Joe.
Yes. Well, it's the culmination of a dream, and I've known Joe long enough to know that this is something that he's been working towards for a long time, and it's really wonderful to see him not only with a team that he can make a difference with, but also a really exciting future. And it's exciting as well for the island, because that means cool cyclists are going to be coming to train.
Well, that's what I didn't ask him that. As if you don't know, lots of professional cycling teams come here for the Christmas and New Year into January. And there is the first of the World Tour races of the year is usually at the end of January, the Challenge Mallorca, which has pro teams in it. Sky
haven't been in it for a couple of years, but Movistar, some of the big names go here. We had the world champion last year, Alejandro Valverde. And I think Joe was saying that the team may come and train here in January, February, which is...
Just depends on the hotel, I guess, or accommodation. But I guess the other way they could do it is that if there's no hotels open, they could just stay in some of the huge... empty holiday villas that must be going on. There's got to be a way around that. Come on, let's go. It's really exciting.
I know, exactly.
Okay, from one Joe to another Joe. Right now, we don't know who's won the... we can't for sure say that Joe Biden is the president-elect for the United States of America, but very, very shortly, Pennsylvania is going to be declared.
You think so?
So I need I'm going to get the champagne out of the fridge because maybe a bit of day drinking is allowed on this occasion.
We should say for balance that if you are a big fan of Donald Trump, then even though you are flat wrong about everything, I do commiserate with you. If that's your thing. Actually, I don't. I don't work for BBC. I don't need to be balanced.
You don't have to be balanced at all.
He's a loony.
It's really, I can't wait for the end of that era.
Yeah.
Although I know you found it very entertaining.
It was definitely that, but I've had enough now.
Well, I mean, there's more serious stuff to be done.
Yeah, certainly is. So, well, that's it. I think for the moment, is it? We've got anything else to add?
No,
oh, next episode.
Oh, hang on. No. What? What about this episode?
What's coming up?
In the next episode? Okay. We'll talk about business.
14.
Yes. We'll talk about business, and we will talk about setting up a business here, and we will talk about closing a business here, and we will talk about next steps and how people pivot. But also, don't forget, if you want to follow us on Twitter, it would be Madge Mal Podcast.
I should know that.
Yes, you should know that because you're the Twitter boy and you've never done it. Instagram, it's Majorca Mallorca Podcast. On Facebook, it's Majorca Mallorca, and now we have a website.
Oh, really? I should know that too, shouldn't I?
Well, keep up, love. www.majorcamallorca.es.
Or wherever you click to find this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can click a link and find it.
Please subscribe and tell your friends. And if you've got something that you want us to talk about or somebody that you'd like us to interview, just get in touch.
Got a couple of nice messages this week as well from people who found the podcast and had a listen. So
welcome.
Please feel free to get in touch as well.
It was
if you
really,
want us to talk about something or
really
if you
nice.
Want to blow smoke up our bums, we're very happy to hear that.
No, thanks. Just the nice messages would be enough for me.
All right.
Until next time, get the champagne out. Let's go.
We will. Okay. Cheers, everybody.
Hang on. There you go.
Perfect. Majorca, 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 let's